Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's video blog is part two in the series concerning the cancel culture, which is a label to describe this phenomenon where those on the political and ideological left are shaming, rejecting, firing, boycotting, removing anyone who holds to derivatives of biblical Christian values. If it's discovered that you do not support transgenderism or homosexuality or the racism of identity politics, or if you support the president or law enforcement, you are canceled. If you say, make America great, or there is one race, the human race, or a man can't be a woman, you are labeled offensive, racist, homophobic, and you're from a bygone era that must be canceled. And although this is being called cancel culture, we know what it really is. This is not some new moral revival in America for fairness or equality or justice. This is Romans chapter 1, where the ungodly work to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 18, where political leaders told the disciples, you shall not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This is Acts chapter 7, where the Sanhedrin were so offended by Stephen's words that they gnashed their teeth at him. They covered their ears. They rushed at him and took him outside and stoned him. They couldn't bear the truth because it contradicted their worldview. Cancel culture is everything we read in the prophets about the persecution of the righteous by the wicked. This is Psalm 11, verse 2. The wicked bending the bow to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. This is Psalm 37, 12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Psalm 37, 32. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. Or Psalm 25, 19. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Or Psalm 38, 9. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Psalm 41, 7. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. And Psalm 69, 4. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemy. So cancel culture is just good old-fashioned persecution of the righteous. And I could go on and on for the next hour and quote many similar Bible verses about the nature and the frequency of the persecution of the righteous. And it's one thing to read about it in the Bible. It's a whole other thing to see how it plays out in real life. Seeing how persecution is justified in the name of fairness and equality, seeing how it's called justice, that's just something we may not have expected, but that's how it always comes about, with self-righteous justification. And we see now that Jesus wasn't speaking in hyperbole when he said to his disciples the night before his crucifixion, John 16, 2, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he's offering service to God. And John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own, but because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you. And that hate is real. And we're seeing it played out practically every day in the news. In the preservation and the restraint of God, America has been a country with a large Christian population, and that population has acted as salt and light. But now the ungodly in our nation have reached a critical mass, maybe even a majority status, where now they can persecute the righteous without social or legal disapproval. The left has now institutional power to cancel people. And the problem in America is not institutional systemic racism. The problem is institutional systemic humanism. Psalm chapter 12, verse 8. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men, and they are certainly strutting about on every side. So in this whole subject of cancel culture. Don't mistake it for social justice, for freedom of speech, or for people legitimately being offended. This is the persecution of the righteous by the wicked. And if we are entering into some sort of prophetic end of the age dispensation of God, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So before I make a few more points about the nature of cancel culture, let me begin with some examples. Walt Heyer, a UK man, who physically transitioned into being a woman, after 8 years transitioned back into being a man. He speaks about being deceived by state psychologists who convinced him that his problem was that he was born in the wrong body. And the whole transition process was based on the lie and it destroyed his life. Now he tells a story. YouTube took down his testimony in a Heritage Foundation video. YouTube claimed Heyer's message was demeaning to people who identify as transgenders. YouTube said Heyer's words violate their hate speech policy, which prohibits videos which asserts that someone's sexuality or gender identity is a disease or mental illness. YouTube also said that Heyer's view that people are not born transgenders was unacceptable for its platform. This is just another example of censorship by the immoral, wicked social business leaders of our day. These people have bought into the immoral ideology of Sodom. They've rejected God. But what's peculiar is that me and many other YouTubers have videos on YouTube that call transgenderism sin. But our YouTubes are still up. Either we don't get enough hits to be a threat, or YouTube is not ready to make an all-out assault on Christian churches and pastors. But that day is coming. It's coming soon. Now, I could challenge YouTube by making my videos a test case by letting YouTube know about my politically incorrect videos. You know, I may get some publicity as being one of the first evangelical pastors thrown off of YouTube, but I'm not too sure that it would be right to provoke people to do evil to make that point. Besides, as I said, I'm sure they're going to come after me soon. And the cancel culture will soon be coming after you. Here's another story. Photographer sues to stop Virginia from fining him for expressing Christian marriage beliefs on his business website. State of Virginia has actually passed a law stating that it's discriminatory to explain on your website why you will not perform homosexual marriages. And even though Jack Phillips, the Christian baker, won his Supreme Court case so that Christians don't have to do business with homosexual weddings, these leftist bureaucrats in Virginia are still claiming that the Christian position is discriminatory and therefore Christian beliefs ought to be canceled from business websites. So this Christian photographer, Chris Herring, and the Alliance Defending Freedom is proactively suing the state of Virginia for religious freedom. A quote from the article, "The law makes it illegal for Chris to hold a policy of photographing and blogging about weddings only between a man and a woman, or to post internet statements explaining his religious reasons for only creating this wedding content." So Christians who refuse to support homosexuality are being canceled by state governments. Another story. Pure evil conservative student organization in Texas under attack from witches and liberal student groups. And at the University of North Texas, the University of North Texas College Democrats, and the University of North Texas GLAAD Group, which stands for Gay Legal Advocacy Group, has developed a petition signed by 2,500 people asking the administration to remove the University of North Texas Young Conservative Group. Why? Because these young conservatives are opposed to forcing people to use transgender pronouns, and they encourage students to celebrate National Coming Out Day by coming out as a conservative. In short, the Young Conservative Group was not affirming immorality and therefore needed to be silenced and canceled. The petition actually says that the YCT needs to be held accountable for their transgressions. And, you know, this story is nothing unusual. because this kind of thing happens all around the country every week. But in this case, occultists and witches joined the petition and were invoking satanic curses upon the YTC of Texas. You know, kind of shows us in this cancel culture movement who is on the side of the devil and who's on the Lord's side. You know, some of those on the left are becoming so bold that they're actually stating that they're for the devil and against God. Here's another story. A pastor in Alabama, on his Facebook page, liked some of the posts by Charles Kirk, the young conservative man who's the head of Turning Point USA. But Jasmine Faith Clinsby, an English teacher at George Carver High School, took issue with the pastor, affirming Kirk's political opinions on Facebook, and took her complaints to the media. She claimed the pastor's posts were culturally insensitive and troubling. Then the local school board and housing authority cut ties with the church. The Birmingham Board of Education voted on June 9th to no longer allow the church to hold services at two local high schools. And the Housing Authority of Birmingham voted to no longer let church volunteers and clinic workers from the church's Christ Health Center carry out their ministry work at public housing communities. Because, quote, the pastor's values, Hodges, were not in line with those of Birmingham residents at the Housing Authority. And the article goes on to explain that this was no small ministry. Pastor Chris Hodges leads a multi-site, multi-ethnic church, which is reportedly one of the largest and most diverse congregations in the state, drawing about 50,000 people each Sunday. But still, the ungodly are emboldened to cancel the Christian community. So, of course, the actions of this city are unconstitutional, and they are a violation of civil rights, the Civil Rights Act. I mean, you're not allowed to discriminate on the basis of someone's religious beliefs. But in our cancel culture, the Constitution and free speech don't matter. You know, have fun going through the expensive and lengthy process of defending yourself in the courts. So those are just four examples. And every week there are dozens of other stories about the canceling of God's people and God's truth. Now let's get back to looking at a few more points concerning what the Bible has to say about cancel culture. And point number one, the cancel culture exists because these cancelers think they're God. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. Your wisdom and your knowledge have deluded you, for you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. These people would not be so offended by views contrary to their own if it weren't for the fact that they have an exalted view of their own sovereignty and authority beyond what is right. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Now, last week I mentioned that the cancel culture is successful because people now get their values from other people rather than from the Word of God. What is right and wrong is determined by the approval of the crowd. Morality is now a function of man, not God's revelation. If a nation got its values from God, cancel culture could get no traction. But the cancel culture is successful because people are putting their feelings above truth. But why do they get their values from man? Because the error behind that is they think they are gods. Why are these people so offended by others contradicting their beliefs? Because the underlying premise in the back of their minds is, I am God, I am my own authority. They are so offended because their authority, their autonomy, their self-rule is being challenged, and that cannot possibly be allowed. So this is why, if you go against their opinions, they're so offended. Because you're calling them wrong. And these people will not consider themselves wrong because they believe in practice that they are gods. And as gods, they believe they are the arbiters and the controllers of cultural values. And not only to control it, but to change it to fit their opinions. One does not practice cancel culture unless one has an over-exalted view of one's authority. Now, this may sound over the top. I mean, come on, do these people really think they're gods? Well, in practice, they do. Have you ever heard the term practical atheists? These are people who may say they believe in God, but in practice, in the way they live, they show that they don't believe in God at all. Well, these people in practice may not be claiming I am God, but everything they do in practice shows that they are putting themselves in the place of God. And this is the biblical description of these people. Like in Acts chapter 12, when the citizenship gave God-like authority to their civil leaders. These people said about Herod Agrippa, the voice of God and not of man. Or Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2, yet you are a man, not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. And remember Psalm 82, 6, starting in verse 5, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Psalm 82 is just 8 verses condemning the judgments made by Israel in her apostasy. Psalm 82:2, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? This was Israel's cancel culture, favoring the wicked over the righteous. They were practicing that key cancel culture text. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. But then the psalmist calls these wicked people gods, which seems quite odd. Verse 6, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. And this probably refers back to the time of the Exodus, when God said good things about Israel being his people, his sons. But then the psalmist revises that status or that statement by saying, nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. In other words, yes, I called you Els, the Hebrew for mighty ones, but you're still men and you will still die. Now, this is a text Jesus quotes in John chapter 10 when the Jewish leaders accuse Jesus, you being a man, make yourself out to be God. Then Jesus quotes Psalm 82, 6. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, the Jews, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I'm the Son of God? So Jesus' response certainly baffled and confused the Jewish leadership. I'm sure they were thinking, did Jesus just call us gods also? Is he saying that he is the same as us? Well, what Jesus was actually saying to them is that you think you're gods. But as the psalmist mockingly points out in Psalm 82, you're not. But how much more am I legitimately God because I've been sent into the world by my Father? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And the miracles that I do testify about who I am. Verse 38. So that's a little Bible study on that. But the point is, they were out to stone Jesus. They were out to cancel Jesus because they had an over-exalted view of themselves. In George Orwell's novel 1984, he has the bureaucrats behind Big Brother practically seeing themselves as gods. And Orwell describes to a T the cancel culture that takes place when people think of themselves as gods. In InSoc, the new English socialism of Big Brother, they invent new speech, a new language that removes every word from the culture that would allow people to communicate Christian Western values. And Winston, the main character, his job is to edit truth out of books and news articles. Winston's friend actually gets arrested by Big Brother because his friend is working in revisionist history and he leaves the word God in an old poem. He was to find a replacement word that rhymed with God, but he couldn't find one, so he left it in and was arrested. So even back in 1949, Orwell knew where the leftist cancel culture would lead, because it was actually happening in the Soviet Union at that time. All the evils we see in our culture today can be explained as simply what happens when a people rebel against God and put themselves on the throne. That's why Alexander Solzhenitsyn summed it all up in his famous quote about the communist gulags and the terror. Why has this all happened? Because men forgot God. There's an interesting prophecy found in Daniel chapter 7 about the coming empire of the Antichrist, Daniel 7:25. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and laws, and they will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. So the Antichrist will be involved in canceling out Christian times and laws. Our dating system is based on the birth of Christ. 2020 years since Christ was born, that will be canceled. English common law is based upon the Bible. That will also be canceled by the Antichrist. Now, this is what the New York Times 1619 Project is all about. Rewriting American history. Someone sent me an article with a picture of a school district throwing all of the school library books and history books and textbooks into the dumpster. In one example, the reason given was that they were all contaminated with COVID, which is unscientific and irrational. Sure looks like an excuse to just put everything online with a new history and LGBT compliance. In fact, in this Fox News article, the principal said, "The weeding procedure is important to help us find a new home for books 10 years and older to ensure that materials are keeping up to date with the needs of ever-changing curriculum, school goals, and student needs." Well, you know what? Education doesn't change that much every 10 years. I used to doubt some of these conspiracy theories, but when you discover the administrators throwing these books in the dumpsters, they are radical ideological leftists. And we have to admit, these conspiracy theories have some weight. There is an active planned cancel culture in public schools. So we read in Daniel 7 that the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist in the future, will be practicing cancel culture. And what we're now learning is how this is going to be justified. By making accusations of racism and white privilege and homophobia against those old times and those old laws. You think that's far-fetched? Here's an article in the Huffington Post by a professor at Furman University. "White men of academia have an objectivity problem. Quote, the larger problem with white men of academia, as I have examined recently, concepts and terms such as objectivity, scientific, valid, reliable, and rational, prove to be extremely powerful in academia and scholarship, yet the great irony of that power is that these concepts and terms are veneers for maintaining white male power." What's he talking about? Traditional reasoning, logic, morality can be thrown out the window because it's based on white racism. Therefore, we can pursue a world where might makes right rather than having to consult with logic and morality. Whatever man wants goes. Mankind doesn't have to be hemmed in with things like logic or law, those things which are outside of himself. So point number one, the cancel culture exists because these people think they're gods. Point number two, the prophecies about the Antichrist, who is all about taking the place of God, is that he will engage in cancel culture. His kingdom will stamp out everything Christian. And the third and final point, the cancel culture will cancel itself. It eventually has to cancel itself to be consistent, and not just to be consistent, but evil people always eat their own. Now, we know that the cancel culture will eventually be canceled by God. But even before then, I just want to point out that this movement will devour itself. And this is not unique to cancel culture. This is the nature of all sin. evil will eventually destroy evil. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Or Isaiah 47, verse 10, you felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you, for you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one beside me, but evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away, and disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come upon you suddenly. The cancel culture of the ungodly will be canceled. The people behind the French Revolution turned on themselves. Robespierre, the ideological leader of the French Revolution, was eventually put on the guillotine by his fellow revolutionaries. Stalin turned on Trotsky. You know, the kingdom of the Antichrist eventually turns on itself. Daniel chapter 11. And although Satan gives his followers temporary power for a little while, eventually even Satan turns on his own. He doesn't allow for competing authorities. He eventually cancels his own minions. Eventually, even the statues of Lenin and Stalin come down. And I'm sure you've heard that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, is being canceled. You know, pro-life advocates have been saying for years that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was a racist. She saw the blacks as an inferior species. She promoted abortion to get rid of the black race. So this put Planned Parenthood in a bad spot. They loved their abortion, but they buried its connection to racism. But in the current environment, Planned Parenthood can't hide this. So they're removing her name from their buildings in New York City and asking for a street named after her to be changed. Here's an article by two Princeton professors, a modest proposal for a name change. Democratic Party may be due for a date with the cancel culture, Princeton professors argue. Two professors from Princeton University co-authored a column published Thursday that took apart the country's current cancel culture that they consider to be based on twisted logic. But they said if the trend continues, to be fair, the movement should consider relegating the Democratic Party to the dustbin of history. And in this article in National Review, it points out how the Democratic Party has been against blacks from its inception right up through the 20th century. So there are still some Princeton professors who are from the old school. Here's another story. The leftist mayor of Portland, who has been a supporter of these protests, saying how peaceful and just they are, he went out to talk to the protesters and they booed and they cursed him. And this is what these leftist politicians and educators reap. Isaiah 59:5, they hatch adder's eggs. This is the fruit of their godless education and their policy. Or how about this story about the Powderhorn neighborhood in Minneapolis? A number of leftist neighbors in this area, this district, vowed not to call the police if they see any crime, because that would be white privilege and would put people of color in danger. So now the neighborhood has been taken over by criminals, and the homeowners are fearing for their lives and moving out. And the greatest example this last week of the cancel culture being canceled is that of Garrett Foster. Foster participated every night in the riots in Austin, Texas, and in an interview, he explained why he brought his AK-47 to the riots to intimidate others. He called the opposition wimps. Well, a few hours later, the rioters stop some man's car. Foster approaches the car with his AK-47, and the driver pulls out his own gun, and he shoots and kills Foster. Proverbs 7:23. He didn't know it would cost him his life. Or Proverbs chapter 1. Do not go with wicked men, because you lie in wait for your own blood. You ambush your own life. You know, watching these riots, some Christians may have wanted to pray some of these imprecatory Psalms. Oh Lord, break their teeth. Lord, break their arms. You know, the empowerment of evil people really grieves our spirit. And for the sake of the rioters, we want them stopped, just like God stopped us in our sin. Well, we don't have to take justice in our own hands. Because, as we read in Romans chapter 12, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And sadly, these rioters, these cancel culture people, will be bringing judgment down upon their own heads. A couple of weeks ago, there was this amazing piece in Harper's Magazine called A Letter for Justice and Open Debate. 150 leftist leaders signed this piece, and the statement called out the dangers of cancel culture. And this was a very odd article or statement because it pandered to all the ideology of the left, but then it said, if we limit free speech, we will be like these conservatives. And this was signed by some far leftists. Even Noam Chomsky, David Brooks, Steven Pinker, Margaret Atwood of The Handmaid's Tales. And it shows that this older generation of leftists are talking with each other. And my guess is that they see these younger generation leftists and they are afraid for their own well-being. They know history and they know where this is going. Like, again, in the French Revolution, the younger violent radicals sent to the guillotine the less woke older generation. I think the 150 signers are afraid that someday they will be canceled. What they have created is going to come after them. And after the Harper statement, many, many people on the far left criticized the piece, saying no, free speech must be stopped because speech is violence, and there ought not to be any debate, just conquering. So we see where this is all going. President Trump recently spoke at a conservative college student group, Turning Point USA, and the president gets it. Trump said, "We are fighting against an oppressive left-wing ideology that is driven by hate and seeks to purge all dissent. The radical left demands absolute conformity from every researcher, professor, journalist, corporation, entertainer, politician, and private citizen. Anyone who veers from their orthodoxy must be punished, canceled, or banished." Then Trump went on to say that these are vicious people. Well, fear not. Because after God allows sinners to show their ugliness for a little while, God then cancels them. Psalm 37:10. "Yet in a little while the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there." Verse 12, "The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming." And Isaiah 33 is another great verse in this regard. "Woe to you, O destroyer, while you are not destroyed, and he who is treacherous, while others did not deal treacherously with him. As soon as you finish destroying, you will be destroyed. As soon as you cease to deal treacherously, others will deal treacherously with you." So let's not forget, Judgment Day is coming. Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." But while the wicked are canceled, the followers of the Lord will be established. And I love how the prophecies of Isaiah encourage the righteous in this regard. Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." Also Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angry at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you." The only ones who don't get canceled in the end are the redeemed of the Lord. They receive eternal life. And this needs to be our message to the current culture. If anyone wants to talk to you about the cancel culture, tell them that the only cancel culture that matters is God's canceling. So be reconciled to God before it's too late. Thank you for listening today. I think we should do one more week about the cancel culture. Next week, some more details about how to confront it. Until next week, stand firm in the faith. The time is short. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May Jesus Christ reign.